Welcome into the Fan Pregame Friday Night Edition here on SportsNet at SportsNet 590 The Fan. We're up on the network for the first 30 minutes to tee up a couple things, and we'll shift over to Leafs Caps pregame show at 6:30 as well. We've got Arthur Staple in a few seconds. Ayman Zahabi, UFC bantamweight, is going to help us tee up UFC 310 in about 15 minutes. And then we'll shift over to Bailey Johnson of the Washington Post to get us ready for Leafs and Caps, which we have on SportsNet 590 The Fan.
Yeah, but it's bearing the lead. A big Rangers day.
Did something happen today?
Big New York Rangers day. A couple of huge news items from them. And the end of two sagas in a lot of ways. Because a couple things were dragging on, but they reached their conclusions today. With Jacob Trouba traded from New York to the Anaheim Ducks for Juho Vaakanainen and a pick. And then a couple hours later, and maybe loosely connected, Rangers reportedly signing Igor Shesterkin to an 8-year deal worth upwards of $11.5 million per season, projected to be the largest goaltending contract in NHL history, $8 million more than what Carey Price signed for all those years ago. It seems, or it felt like, this day was coming for a long time for the New York Rangers. Ailish, anything stand out to you?
The timing of it all. A little Friday afternoon news bump. And by the way, we do have the Rangers and the Penguins up at 7:30, which will have a lot of eyes, of course, on Sportsnet. But yeah, this has been a bit of a messy couple of weeks, Rangers-wise, and they've got two things solidified and finished that I think was weighing on a lot of people in that room. So let's bring in Arthur Staple of The Athletic to help us break down today's news. The city that never sleeps, they were really working hard today, Arthur. Want to ask you just like how much you knew that these two might or might not be connected, the connection, the timing of the Trouba trade, and then the Igor Shesterkin extension. I wonder if there's anything more than like financial flexibility that connects these two in the few hours that it all happened.
Yeah, you know, the Trouba thing, I think, was a little bit more front burner, well known what was going on. Obviously, the memo that Chris Drury sent out to the other 31 GMs a couple weeks ago, specifically mentioning Trouba and Chris Kreider by name, coupled with Drury's attempt to try to move Trouba last summer, but had a free agency to kind of free up that cap space. It seemed like that was obviously something that was maybe coming to a head. I think as far as this specific week on Monday when they lost pretty badly to the Devils at home, I think there were some unhappy people in the front office in the ownership level here, and that may have spurred some more accelerated talks, I guess you could say. It seems like there have been some talks, but maybe this was the time to do it with 3 days between games and things not going very well. So that part, I think, maybe we could see coming a little bit. And the fact that Jacob Trouba was able to have some control over where he went, choosing to waive his no-trade clause to go to Anaheim instead of some other options, maybe made it a little bit more known that this was a possibility. The Shesterkin extension, I think, a little bit more of a surprise, given that he'd spurned $11 million before the season started. There was not a lot of appetite to get things done during the season for him. I think he wanted to focus on playing. Maybe the way that the team has played the last few weeks changed his mind. It's kind of known that maybe he could get a little bit more if he waited till July 1, whether from another team or kind of leverage that against the Rangers. But I think he went for the certainty. And, I think the only thing that connects him in my mind is for Chris Drury, some of the uncertainty moving Trouba, maybe jolting the room a little bit, maybe potentially moving some other veterans out. I think you want to make sure that you've got your goalie signed. He's the guy that's the most important one as far as their future is concerned, as far as their present is concerned. And getting him signed for 8 years takes a huge worry off the table for the organization.
Let's stick on Trouba for a second, Arthur. This guy was thought of enough to be named the captain of this team, and maybe the game was at a better place then. I'm sure it was a far better place then. But how did it devolve so drastically between a franchise and its captain?
I think it really just comes down to the contract. It's one that Chris Drury inherited when he came in as GM 3+ years ago. He did have a big hand in naming Trouba captain, and I think the players all probably felt if they were the ones to choose, Trouba would have been an obvious choice a couple of years ago. He'd been doing a lot of the captain-style things behind the scenes, even in the previous years. But I think it's coupled with his play on the ice. He struggled really through a broken ankle, tried to play up to his usual level in the playoffs last year, but wasn't quite there. And then I think the summer, you know, turmoil seemed to affect him a little bit. He wasn't, you know, he did have a big hit on Justin Barron in Montreal that kind of initiated some ill will with the Canadians. But you usually see him playing a little bit more forceful physically, wasn't quite there. And his play really had dipped to the point where he was, he's a third pair defenseman right now on this team. And when you get a third pair guy making $8 million, that's probably an untenable situation for a team that's lost 6 or 7. And, you know, there's some other guys here. Maybe also the Rangers would have wanted to consider moving, but there's some no move clauses, so you can't really use that threat of waivers to kind of get things moving. It all kind of pointed to him, and it's odd. Like you said, he's the captain. He hasn't been the captain for very long, and the room really looks up to him. And I think that part of it too was maybe removing him from the situation forces someone else or several someone else's to step to the fore in terms of the leadership, and they really needed to get to that point sooner than later to stop the bleeding with this season so far in this season and maybe moving forward beyond this season.
So a lot of movement today, obviously, like a big, big day in terms of news. But if the only real transaction is removing what amounts to be a third pairing defenseman, does this cure what ails the Rangers? Obviously, they're in a bit of a tailspin. It's very loud in New York City, maybe louder than it needs to be. But with the goaltending extension, okay, maybe some sighs of relief. Getting rid of Trouba, I'm sure, is a positive in some ways. But does this fix? Is this the catch-all? Does today fix what was happening and what has been happening with the Rangers?
I think that's up to the guys that are still here. They've had some underperforming veterans. You haven't seen a lot of good stuff consistently from Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider, who was the other one named in the note, the all 31 note, I guess you could call it, from a couple weeks ago. Adam Fox piling up the assists, but maybe not at the usual level. Keandre Miller, who's been a top four defenseman for the entire season, he was a top pair guy, also looking for a new contract, hasn't played up to his level. You haven't seen a lot from Alexis Lafreniere since he signed his 7-year extension. There's a lot of culprits, I think. And, if they can't collectively get it together, the effort to move Trouba was basically a 4 or 5 month long process for Chris Drury. I don't know if he can repeat that in enough time that they need to turn the season around. The East is mercifully for them pretty mediocre once you get beyond a couple of the top teams, so that's going to save them a little bit. And maybe Shesterkin gets himself back to the level that he started this season at, where he was superhuman and looking like a guy who could make 13 or 14 million. I think you've made some changes, and obviously they've given themselves some flexibility cap-wise to add if they wanted to. That's a much harder, I think, situation to try to bring in a big-name guy right in the middle of the season. But we'll see. You know, it starts tonight. They're playing the Penguins. Mike Sullivan, who's a guy who's worked here before. David Quinn is behind the bench, a guy who Chris Drury fired when he first got on the job. I'm sure they'd love to keep the Rangers' misery going on the ice, and we'll see how they respond to all of this turmoil. Removing their captain, not just from the lineup, but from the room, and how they come out tonight, how they play a couple of next ones, where they've got Seattle and Chicago coming in Sunday and Monday. It's a pretty key week right now to see if they can stave off more changes, and it really starts with the guys that are left.
Yeah, it looks like Shesterkin getting the start tonight on the heels of his newest extension. And I wonder for you, like, now that that's put to rest, you know, those were big, big questions for the Rangers front office. Like, what is the next puzzle piece? Who needs to be locked in? What big, like, financial decisions or cap discussions can they be having once that one is inked, signed to paper, Shesterkin's locked in? What's the next big thing for them to tackle?
You know, I think it's what to do with Keandre Miller, the guy who a couple of years ago was a 40-plus point defenseman with zero power play time, a guy who has incredible physical skills, skating. It just seemed like he was ready to be the next guy, to be the partner for Adam Fox for a lot of years to come. And it really has kind of plateaued the last year plus for him. So I'm curious to see where that goes. Certainly, you know, you see Alexis Lafreniere get 7.45 times 7. Andrew Miller is a top four defenseman, still a young guy, so I'm sure he's looking for even more than that on a long-term deal, and whether the Rangers want to pay it, whether you see him maybe as a trade chip going into the offseason, that's kind of the next big move. You know, they've got some other guys. Kaapo Kakko's having a good year. He's an RFA. Will Cooley has really emerged this year, a Toronto kid who's kind of made himself into a really effective top nine power forward. And been a really, kind of an interesting leader at 22 a bit outspoken about some of their troubles, which is interesting to see in a team so full of veterans. And he's due a big raise coming off his entry-level deal. So there's some other more minor decisions, but I think Miller is the main one because it's, you know, it's not even just that they're going to sign him. It's maybe whether he stays or goes, and it's kind of part of this complete rebuild that Chris Drury is trying to engineer. I don't know if that's an in-season decision, but it's still a big one, and kind of now the main one if they're going towards the offseason with Shesterkin signed.
Last one for you, Arthur. We appreciate the time. I'm sure it's been a really busy day, and it'll be a busy night. You mentioned the Chris Kreider thing, him being involved in the same, I guess, memo that Jacob Trouba was involved in, and it was a surprise with Kreider. It wasn't so much with Trouba, and I wonder how much of it was a surprise to Chris Kreider himself. I mean, we kind of went over it. This guy's littered all over the franchise record, at least top 10 lists. He is a Ranger through and through, and he's been that way for a very long time. How many feathers did that ruffle? Like, is Chris Kreider cool since this memo was released, or is it maybe created more problems than initially intended?
You know, he's a guy who's been here through a lot of different phases of this franchise in 13 years. He came up, you know, in the mid-2010s when they were a team that was knocking on the door, a lot of Eastern Conference final trips, one Stanley Cup final trip. He signed up to stay through the post-letter era when they sent out their memo to the fans saying they were going to start rebuilding, and they very much did for about 3.5 years. And now he's still here, and he's become maybe a more effective guy in his 30s with his first 50-goal season a couple of years ago, and he's becoming a guy who played in all three phases of the game and was out there late, been a good, responsible defensive guy. He's earned a spot on the Team USA Four Nations team because of that kind of well-roundedness that he's gotten into his 30s. So I don't think a lot really fazes him, but he does like stability and quiet. He's not really a loud sort of rah-rah type guy. So, but they do have a few guys like that. Him and Zibanejad and Adam Fox are a little bit more reticent than kind of the more grab guys by the neck and pull them along types. So it'll be interesting to see how it affects him now that Trouba's on the way out. Like you said, he doesn't have the full no-move protection. So, you know, if things continue to go bad, could be him that's going through these negotiations where they try to move him and maybe put him on waivers and do all this stuff. You know, Chris Drury has kind of set the bar now for how he's going to deal with some of his veterans that don't have that full no-move protection. So, you know, I think it's a bit of a kick in the pants for him. He understands it's a business that, you know, you don't always have a lot of guarantees unless they're the ones that you fight for in your contract talks. And still got a couple years left after this year at a pretty reasonable number. So, you know, I think it's an impetus for him to get going, either, you know, maybe become a more vocal guy than different than he's been and get back to the standard that he set scoring-wise and play-wise the last couple years. And just kind of highlights that these veterans here have been here for a long time. They've been through a couple of coaches, a couple of different GMs, and haven't quite gotten to the level that ownership in the front office wants them to get to. So, yeah, if they want to stay together, the rest of them that are still here, I think this is the time to do it.
Well, busy day for the Rangers. They haven't even had puck drop yet against Pittsburgh Penguins tonight, a 7:30 start on Sportsnet. Arthur, we appreciate you breaking it all down for us. Enjoy the busyness of it all, and I'm sure they're not done keeping you busy there at The Athletic. We appreciate your time.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. That's Arthur Staple of The Athletic. We mentioned it. Rangers Penguins tonight. No Jacob Trouba. And Shesterkin signing to reportedly the largest goaltending contract in NHL history, an 8-year extension for $11.5 million. So lots of intrigue in that game tonight.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised on Shesterkin. You're getting this close to hearing what everyone else can put on the table, but maybe
what's better
with
than
New
the
York,
largest contract in French that's in
true.
NHL
that's
history?
That's true, but maybe with New York drifting away, it seems like, maybe he could make, or at least get more information before making that decision. But yeah, can't really quibble with a big money deal like that.
All right, tomorrow we've got UFC 310 going from Las Vegas. We're going to have that on Sportsnet 360, the prelims at 8 p.m., and then you can order the pay-per-view on Sportsnet Plus. And a new voice helping us tee it all up, Ayman Zahabi, a UFC bantamweight contender and Sportsnet analyst for us this weekend, joining us. Thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, you're doing really well. We're excited to have you a part of the squad. Being in Vegas, I mean, it just feels like a perfect weekend for a UFC event, and you're working with our guy, Aaron Bronstetter. Like, how's the energy been around this weekend and getting excited for it all?
It's been great all week. It's great to be here and see all the fighters. We had a little hiccup today at the weigh-ins. A couple of guys missed weight. One of them was able to make it in the end, and the other one didn't. So we're still waiting to see what's happening with that fight. And just a turn of events here in backstage, Umar and Mirab almost got into it while they were doing press. It was a very interesting week. A lot of action.
Were you protecting Aaron Bronstetter back there?
Of course, I sheltered him with my life. I just grabbed onto him, kept him nice and close.
That's good to hear. I mean, we only have one multi-time MMA Journalist of the Year nominee, and that's Aaron. So let's keep him safe as much as possible. Okay, it's been quite the run for you. You're on a 5-fight win streak in the UFC yourself. What's next for you? What do you want next? 5 fights in the UFC? That's a good win streak. You deserve a good fight next up after Pedro Munhoz was dispatched last time out. What are you looking for?
I'm hoping for someone in the top 10, you know, now that I'm like number 13. And I heard a rumor that they're coming to Canada early next year. So if they do confirm that they're coming to Canada, I would love to fight someone on the main card to represent Canada in our home country.
We'd love to see it. We'd love to be cage side if possible. Yeah. We were there in 297.
Tell them that we need to be there too.
Maybe Bronstetter. He's pulling strings for you. He pulls strings for us as well.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask Uncle Dana for some tickets for the whole team.
Perfect. There you go. I love it. That's what we're all about. Okay, so 310 this weekend. It's an immediate title shot for a newcomer from Japan, Kai Asakura. That generally doesn't happen. If you get signed, you probably got to at least have a couple fights before you get that big match, before you get the title fight. Why was Asakura worthy of the immediate title fight against Pantoja?
Well, you know, he's a huge star back home in Japan, and I'm sure UFC, they've been talking about it recently that they want to head back over there. And there is a lot of people in Japan who really love martial arts and they appreciate fighting. And even you can tell when you watch events that happen in Japan how respectful the fans are when fights are going on and how much they react when, you know, grappling exchanges happen, wrestling exchanges happen. And, you know, he's an action-packed star, Kai is, and, you know, they're looking forward to give him a shot to win a title so that maybe they can bring UFC back to Japan. That's my hunch. That's my hunch for the whole thing, you know. UFC is a global powerhouse, and even for this event, I think they have four different... This event is broadcasted in 4 different languages live Saturday night. So it's big news for us internationally.
We know the stats. I think you've seen it on every graphic. 33-0 combined in the co-main event. Pretty unbelievable stats there. You're looking at these two fighters and the caliber going on Saturday. I think that was one everyone's pretty fired up for. Is that the one that you've got circled as the must-watch this weekend?
That's the must-watch. You know, it could be even the main event of a card. This is a huge fight. And what's even more interesting is that these guys have trained together in the past. So they kind of have a feel for each other. And they kind of maybe have an idea of what each other's weaknesses are. You know, they always say sparring and fighting, they're not the same. But, you know, they've had a feel for each other. And that's probably why Ian doesn't see him as such a boogeyman. So I'm interested to see if he can use his tactical strategies to be able to outwit him tomorrow night, or is Shavkat going to run through him with his wrestling and grappling?
Yeah, 33-0, as you mentioned, that Shavkat Rakhmonov versus Ian Garry in the co-main event of UFC 310, which goes down this weekend. We're talking Ayman Zahabi, UFC bantamweight contender and teammate, I guess, with us, but also more specifically Aaron Bronstetter. A former champion, Aljamain Sterling, is on the prelims, which is interesting because he's a big name and he's got a lot of reason for guys to want to tune in for him. Sounds like there might be another fight behind you.
Yeah.
But if you need to protect Aaron, go ahead. Is this because of Aljo so early on the card? Like, is this one of the best cards of the entire year? Should we be sitting down on the couch early and making sure we're here for the prelims in addition to the main card? Because Aljo so far down is telling me this is a really deep card.
Not only is Aljo on the prelim, which is a good reason to come in early, but Mofsar is also an incredible fighter who hasn't lost yet in the UFC, someone who's even beat Diego Lopez, you know, and putting them where they are on the card, I think it makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of international stars on this card in general, right? So UFC is very smart in how to try to get as many viewership as possible. And, you know, they're trying to spread out all the talent that they have throughout the card. So it's like a must-watch from the beginning to the end. They have 3 M1 global ex-champions. You know, they have Kai, who's also a Japanese champion. And, you know, you have Aljamain Sterling, who was a UFC champion, all spread out throughout the card. So there's a lot of big names on this thing internationally that people should tune in and watch.
Okay,
and if you're going to watch, you make sure you watch it on Sportsnet.
That's right.
You're good company, man. Give us one more fight or fighter 100%. One more fighter we should be tuned in for this weekend, Amy.
Well, I really like the fight between Nate and Superboy. I think those two guys, Duho Choi and Nate Landwehr, that's going to put an action-packed fight. It's the opening fight of the main card. Make sure you tune in. I think it's a dark horse on the card. Not too many people are talking about it because of all the other big names. There are names that are bigger, but I think that fight specifically is going to deliver a lot of action.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on. This was an absolute blast. Enjoy this weekend. Keep our guys safe and have some fun. And we'll definitely chat soon. And best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
That's Ayman Zahabi, UFC bantamweight contender, and working with us for Sportsnet for the UFC 310 this weekend in Vegas, which we mentioned. You can get the prelims 8 o'clock on Sportsnet 360, and then pay-per-view on Sportsnet Plus.
Yeah, one of the last cards of the year, I suppose. So one of the last cards of the first year of the UFC's return to Sportsnet,
which has been great for us.
I mean, we're getting guys who are 5-0 in their last five to work with Aaron. So I think things are probably going pretty well with the
UFC.
We didn't
ask for best bets from him because I don't know, like, if you're like a fighter, like, do you want to? Is there tampering?
I guess we could have went through Aaron's picks and maybe there was like Ayman moonlighting. With some best bets, but it's probably okay. A little unfair to put him on the spot.
You know, Aaron Bronsetter will tweet them out anyway, so make sure you follow his tweets.
We follow them blindly.
And he'll tee you up for this weekend. But we do have some best bets for tonight. We mentioned it's a busy night on the network. At 7:30, we've got the Rangers and the Penguins. Obviously, so much intrigue into this one. We just went through it. On Sportsnet 1, you got the Lakers and the Hawks 7:30 start, and Minnesota and Golden State, the second part of a doubleheader there at 10 p.m. on Sportsnet 1. And then we'll take Caps and Leafs on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, battle of two of the best teams in the NHL. So that would be awesome. So my best bet tonight, I think you're aligned that this Rangers drama might actually bring some...
A weight lifted tonight.
And I'm going to pick two different ones for you. They're playing the Penguins, as we mentioned, but Kreider. I'm going to do a Kreider anytime goal. I just think with the whole Trouba Kreider situation being named publicly as someone that they're trying to shop. You saw one guy out the door today, one guy like inked in long term. You want to be on the right side of this story. You want to be showing that you want to lock in and be a better contributor to this team. So Kreider anytime goal is kind of my motivation station for tonight. And if you believe in, you know, not what is it like getting fat and happy when you get paid, the opposite of that.
Okay. Lean and malcontent.
Yes, that's gonna be Shesterkin tonight. You can bet him a shutout plus 11 to 1 there against the Penguins, who we know are not great. The only thing is Sidney Crosby, I think it's his 1300th game tonight.
Ooh.
So if you were gonna
I'm stunned you don't have something for that.
I have him to also score, but that kind of cancels each other out. Yeah. This was before I knew about what was going on with the Rangers today.
Look at you. Flipped
my script, and I think the Rangers come out.
Get the handicap in early.
They tell everyone, like, whoo, it's not as bad as you think it is here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Rangers. I'll just do the Rangers on the puck line plus 125. I think this is, like, an obvious shot in the arm. Like, I don't know what the exact behind the scenes of it all was with Jacob Trouba. Like, how messy was it in person? How messy was it in the room? How messy was this with everything hanging over them? But I'm sure everyone will just be a little bit happier to come to the Rangers.
They could be distracted too, because there was some pregame stuff I was watching where they, you know, some of the players were being asked questions and they were like, I got to focus on the game tonight. And they were being asked about Trouba and they're being asked about making a Four Nations roster. And it was like almost too much noise going on. So they're either going to win 6-0 or lose 6-0.
Well, if it's a 50-50 proposition and we have plus odds, then we'll be all right. We'll be all right with plus 125 on the Rangers. I do think, though, that a weight has been lifted. It'll be easier to come to the rink. I think the Rangers will play well tonight. And there's always that, like, dead coach bounce. Maybe it's not dead coach bounce. It's the traded player bounce. I'm not really sure how it's going to function, but this generally gets people's attention. And for that reason, I'll ride with the Rangers. Any reticence for you with this deal for Shesterkin? He's clearly one of the best in the game. If it's Hellebuck and Shesterkin or Shesterkin and Hellebuck, I'm not really sure, but he's one of the best in the game with the cap going up. No reason to be concerned of this massive goaltending contract.
I think he's one of the best, and they just got to get some like more proven playoff experience, like going through it and maybe getting into a cup final. But Shesterkin is a guy that like I'd be definitely locking in big time. I'm not
29 years old. In a couple days.
Okay, happy
right
birthday.
Before New Year's Eve.
Happy birthday. How about Radko Gudas and Jacob Trouba as your beast back end? That is scary.
I mean, it's usually fun going to Orange County and playing the Ducks, but if you get caught out there with those two.
See ya.
Might be a hospital visit.
It's a tough one. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, with Bailey Johnson of the Washington Post. We'll talk about the Caps, who are motivated, top of the Metro. Ovi skating already. They've got a bunch of Four Nations snubs, so they're rolling into Toronto. Very angsty. We'll be right back.